honor. Now, Lord, we need a word from you today, Lord. No one has come to hear my opinion or my philosophy, but right now speak truth to power, Lord. Let your anointing fall fresh upon me and rest upon me, Lord. Speak through me, Lord. Lord, have your way in this sacred moment, Lord. Anything that you don't want me to say, take it out my mouth, Lord. Anything you have me to say, put it in my heart, Father. We just ask that you come in here like a mighty wind and have your way today, Lord. We ask these prayers in your mighty Son Jesus' name. Amen. I just love being here. I just love being here. I don't even know how to start off sometimes. Sometimes I just want to bask and just look at you for a minute. If you don't mind, standing on your feet all over the building. Today, we're coming from the 27th number of Psalms. This is actually my favorite scripture in the Bible, this entire passage. I really like the part of this passage where he says, "Whom shall I fear?" I ain't scared of nobody. "Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh," what they do, church? They stumbled and fell. But we're not preaching on that today. That is one of my favorite parts. We're going to start at the 9th verse. 27th number of Psalms, 9th and 10th verse. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Oh, y'all got way too quiet. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. Who you talking to, David? God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Well, we can open the doors of the church on that. But just for a moment, I'm going to talk to you today and tag this subject. You can't fire me. I quit. Heard what I said, Maestro? You can't fire me. I quit. Forgive me if I come off a little ill-prepared today. I didn't have as much time to dig into this as I wanted. What had happened was I had a hot, hot message for y'all. I said, "Ooh, I'm going to give it the new beginning this week." I was listening to the radio and one of my favorite songs came on. "I can do this for hours and hours." I know y'all don't know it because y'all only listen to gospel music, but it's one of my favorite songs. And I said, "I'm going to preach that." So I found my text when Jesus was up on the mount praying and he came down and he said, "Couldn't y'all just wait an hour?" And then I was going to entitle the message, "I can do this for hours." Oh, it was hot. I got excited sitting at my desk preparing for it. But when I started typing, my fingers wouldn't move. Not one word. God gave me nothing day after day after day. And I'm like, "God, Sunday is approaching. I need something." Then I get a phone call from a cousin. He called me crying. He was going through some things. And I talked to him best I could. And God said, "Now you're going to preach that." And I said, "Well, God, I haven't even studied for that. I haven't even prepared for that." He's like, "But that's what I want you to preach." And I sat back down at the typewriter and I couldn't stop typing. Boy, as I was sitting there, he was still giving it to me. So I said all that to say we should be out of here by 2:00. All right. Have you ever been canceled, overlooked, turned down, kicked to the curb, left out, rejected, made to feel you weren't enough? make you feel you were unworthy.
Yeah.
If you live long enough in this thing called life, you will experience rejection. You will get overlooked. It happens, especially to those of us whose skin has been kissed by nature's sun. See. Have you ever been heartbrokenly sad and hands-throwingly mad? Let me explain. See, that's how I felt when I saw the viral video of those two beautiful Black little girls in Philadelphia at Sesame Place. They're at Sesame Place, and there's a parade of characters parading down the street. And these two beautiful Black little girls, excited with expectations, are waving at Rosita. And they're extending their hand in hopes of receiving a hug from one of their favorite characters. And as they extend their hand and as they wave hello, Rosita greets all the white children and their parents next to them. But when Rosita comes to these two beautiful Black little girls, Rosita waves no. She walks away shaking her head and waving her finger and proceeds to greet other little children. Ladies and gentlemen, when I saw that, I was hands throwing mad and heartbrokenly sad. Thank God it wasn't my child. Because when I looked at the face on the little girl who continued to follow Rosita's path, the look on her face reflected that her heart was broken and her soul had been crushed. Now the mother of the little girl said her daughter kept asking what she had done to make Rosita reject her and keep going on to the other children. How come Rosita don't like me, mommy? She has questions because she is confused. She has to internalize and process that there is something about her that made her unworthy of a hug, unworthy of receiving love from someone she was extending love to. And now she's in need of some time of healing and rebuilding because her heart has been broken and her soul has been crushed. Yes, my brothers and sisters, no matter who you are, every now and then, even if you are not a little girl who's standing with excitement, hoping that someone would hug you, all of us have been there. All of us can pick up where this little girl left off, the metaphors from this little girl's experience. No, on one level, she's experienced crushing rejection. Because Rosita waved no to the little girl. Is there anybody in here who can testify that every now and then life can wave no to you? You apply for a loan to build that business only to have life wave no to you. Or maybe you've experienced no from someone you gave love to, but they wouldn't give it back to you. Here it is again, the waving of no of rejection. That little girl is a metaphor for the experience of far too many of us. Not only did Rosita wave no to the little girls, but Rosita was speaking to others while ignoring her. Okay. Have you ever felt like others were getting what you were looking forward to? Have you ever found yourself hurting because while you're extending your hand of hope, it appears that somebody else was getting the answer to your prayers? I'm talking about rejection, family. See, I know a little bit about rejection. It was the summer of 1983. I was playing outside with my best friend, Eric, when a mutual friend of ours told us to come meet his cousin who was in town. We strolled down the street to Marcus' house, and there she stood, a 13-year-old girl named Anika. Now, fellas, it was at this moment in my life that I found out that there is a such thing as love at first sight. See, I wanted to talk to her, but I didn't know what to say. I mean, I had big lips and nappy hair, and here she is looking like a Barbie doll. So I was intimidated by her. Plus, she was an older woman. I mean, I was 12 and she was 13. So I did what any 12-year-old would do. I asked my best friend, Eric, to do the dirty work for me. But Eric, being my best friend, didn't know how to tell me that she wasn't interested in me. She was interested in him. So he did what any best friend would do. He told her what I said. And Anika said, he needs help. Oh, I was devastated. I felt like a Mack truck had ran over my heart. I had never experienced rejection on that level before. That is until a few months later. You see, I thought that my brother and sister's father was my father. So I didn't understand why my father would come and pick up my siblings and leave me at home. And when I would question my mother, she said that I was too little to go. And that excuse worked for a while, but now I'm 12. And I'm old enough to ride the rides at the amusement park. I can watch a rated PG movie. I can almost do anything my brother and sister could do, but he still wouldn't take me. And then Christmas came around and he comes over with a trunk full of presents, and me being the baby boy, I just knew that most of them was for me. But every present he poured out was either for my brother or my sister. See, they got everything on their list. And then finally, at the bottom of the bag was a present for me. But I wasn't tripping off of that, only having one present, because I did have a pretty extensive list and some pretty pricey things on there. So I just knew that this had to be the best present that was on my list, and I was okay with that. But when I unwrapped the present, it was a, y'all ain't gonna believe this, it was a Connect Four. Now, for those of you who don't know what a Connect Four is, it's just a stand-up checkered board. See, I don't even know how to play checkers. It wasn't even on my list, but my daddy got me a Connect Four. See, and that's all the evidence and proof that I needed that my daddy didn't love me. And this time when they left without me, I didn't want to go. Because I'm old enough to know now that I don't want to be around nobody that don't want to be around me. I'm tired of this man making me feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy to be his son. You ain't ever got to worry about me wanting to go with you no more, because I don't want to go no more. You can't fire me from being your son. I quit. So once again, I feel rejected. And I took my concerns to my mother. And this time she didn't tell me I wasn't big enough. She just gave me $20 and sent me on my way. So what I did know was that she spent the next couple of weeks trying to get in touch with my real father. And when she finally did, she begged him to come meet me. And I gotta be honest, church, this was the best day of my life. And we hung out all day. And he said that he was coming back to see me, but y'all know how that story ends. He never came. And once again, I felt rejected. And even though he didn't say it, all I heard was, he needs help. Have you ever put all of your hope on something, and when you finally got that something, you wish that you never got what you hoped for? This is that moment for me where everything I've hoped and dreamed of crashed and burned. I felt like those little girls waving at Rosita. This is the moment when my heart sank down into the center of my stomach. This is the moment where all my confidence dissipated. This is the moment where I got hurt and angry, because angry is what you get when you get hurt. This is the moment when low self-esteem took over my life. It's one thing to be rejected by something optional like Anika, but I really needed this. See, what are you supposed to do when you really need a blessing and you really need the job and you really need that companion and you really need some help and you really need some love and you really need somebody to tell you that everything's going to be all right? I mean, you needed it. You didn't want it. You needed this and God didn't give it to you. Now, wait a minute, God. I'm trying to believe you, but I'm an emotional wreck down here. I don't have time for you to teach me another lesson. Sunday school is over. I need a breakthrough when I need it now. Sometimes life will make you say, you can't fire me. I quit. So here I am, 12 years old, trying to encourage myself. Hey, but here's the problem with being rejected, family. Rejection brings a sense of offense to your life. I mean, rejection says, how could you not want me? How could you not want this? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. See, and the offense is something or someone that you wanted didn't want you. And don't let them choose someone else. How did she get the job? Why he with her? Why would you be a father to them, but not a father to me? There is an offense that comes across your spirit when you are rejected. And offense is Satan's number one tool to deter the body of Christ. See, in here, we call it church hurt. I don't know if y'all know anything about that, but there is a such thing as church hurt. Because when you've been offended, if you don't get over it, offense leaves the residue of bitterness in your spirit. And bitterness creates disdain and anger. And you can always tell people who haven't gotten over being rejected because they're bitter and angry that even 20 years later, they're still talking about it. Mm-mm. That man is on his third marriage and you're still talking about how he left the toilet seat up. How you deal with rejection determines how successful you will be in life. See, when you don't allow it to sit in your spirit, and when you keep on moving in life, and when you refuse to be bitter based on a closed door, you are literally testifying against the ones who closed the door because they thought the closed door would make you lay down and die. They thought the rejection letter would make you give up and quit. They thought the waving no to you would make you throw in the towel. But when you get over it and keep living your life, you are testifying that ain't nobody in hell gonna stop me from getting what God has for me. If you ain't never been rejected, then just sit there and talk to your pew partner. But for those of us who's been pushed to the side, when you continue to press through rejection, you are saying to the one who rejected you that you can't fire me. I quit. Now, one of the reasons rejection is so hard to accept is because rejection is an offense to my pride. I don't think the women understand how hard it is for us to walk across that crowded room to introduce ourselves to you. The only thing that stops us from doing it is rejection. See, there's a movie. It was a movie out that I watched. I don't know the name of it, but a guy who was newly single and he's out having boys' night and they're at the bar. And then there's a bunch of girls over there having girls' night out, and his friends were encouraging him to go talk to the girl. So he goes over there. And he talks to the girl and she shoots him down and he says, you see those guys behind me? She's like, yeah. He says, they were pushing me to come over here and talk to you. And can you help me save face by just smiling and nodding your head like you happy to talk to me? And then in 30 seconds, I'm going to walk away and go back. That's because we don't want anybody to know that we've been rejected. See, God has given you authority, dominion, and gifts, and it's tough to be gifted by God and still be rejected because pride can't understand how the door could be closed. You meet all the criterias. You have all the right credentials. You look good. You got it going on. How could you not want me? And you got to be very careful, brothers and sisters, because pride says that I'm too gifted to not get what I want. Pride believes that if I want you, then you should want me. Pride says, with my resume, when I apply, I should get the job. Pride says, with all I got going on for me, when I knock on the door, it should be open. And pride will keep you in a place where you've been rejected because pride has to figure out why. Pride says, I'm not walking away until I understand why I didn't get what I wanted. And you become held hostage because you need an explanation as to why, even with all of your gifts and your resume and your anointing and your beauty and your youth and your strength and your money and your talents, that somebody else got what you think you should have had. Pride will hold you hostage to your rejection. And it doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter what the Lord has done in your life. I want you to know that every job will not be prosperous. Every relationship will not work. Every friendship won't last forever. Everything you desire will not be good for you. You're going to make some bad decisions. And one of the greatest things you've got to learn how to do is get over it. Now, here in our text, I know when y'all was wondering when I was going to get to the text. Here in our text, David says, even if my mother and my father reject me, God will receive me. See, now, if anybody know anything about David, rejection, it's David. You see, David was rejected by his father. You see, God told the prophet Samuel that the next king of Israel is coming out of Jesse's house. So Samuel goes over to Jesse's house. Yo, Jess. Jesse opens the door. What's up, Sam? And he says, look, God just told me that the next king of Israel is coming out your house. Ain't that good news? Jesse said, that's real good news. He said, now where your boys at? Jesse said, let me go get them. And he went and got seven of his boys, the tall ones, the good looking ones, the strong ones, the brave ones. And he said, it got to be one of them. One of them. I'm betting on the first one. That's my favorite. Don't tell nobody, but that's my favorite. And Samuel brought this oil with him. I wish y'all knew the story. Then I wouldn't have to tell it to you. He brought some oil with him and he poured it on the first one and the oil defied gravity. He poured it on the second and third one and the oil defied gravity. The fourth and fifth and the seventh, the oil defied the gravity. And Samuel said, now I know that I know what God told me. It's one thing when you know what God told you. You can't let nobody deter you from what you know. God has been good to me. Maybe you ain't never been on a hospital bed and he lifted you up. Maybe he ain't never made a way for you, but I know that my God is real and nothing you can tell me can change my mind. He says, I know what God told me. He said that the king was coming out of this house, so you gotta have another son. And Samuel said, well, yeah, I do. Jesse said, I do, but it's David. I mean, David, he just handles the sheep. Matter of fact, he's out there shoveling sheep dung as we speak. Can't be David. And Samuel says, go get him. Go get him. And the Bible says that when David walked in the house, the oil started running like a raging river. And David, daddy, Jesse, didn't think that he was qualified to be king. David was rejected by his father. And another time, David was sent to take some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out to his brother because they was having war against this Philistine, right? So David take the peanut butter and jelly sandwich out to the battlefield and he's shocked by what he sees. When he gets to the battlefield, he sees Goliath in the middle of the battlefield blaspheming God. And he sees the army of the living God hiding over in the trench. And David says, now what's wrong with this picture? Why y'all over here hiding in the trench and this man out here talking all this mess? And somebody said, well, David, see, the king said that whoever go fight him and shut him up, he'll give him his daughter's hand in marriage. And then he said that he's also gonna make them rich. And then he said, whoever does this, family don't have to pay no taxes. And David said, now what'd he say again? Can I get that in writing? And David said, well, what I'm not going to do has allowed this man to blaspheme my God. So I'm going to go down there and handle it. Then his brother said, there you go again. You want all the attention. Always got to be on the program. Always got to be involved. You always got to lead something. You don't even know how to fight. Who's watching the sheep anyway? You only came down here to be nosy. His brothers rejected him. But Saul says, well, listen, David, that's a trained fighting machine right there. That's a killer. If you're going to do it, David, here, take my armor. And y'all know the story. He said, hey, that ain't going to fit. All I need is a couple of smooth stones. I don't know why they had to be smooth, but he just said, I just need a couple of smooth stones. And he takes his slingshot and he kills Goliath. And then he didn't even have a sword. So he takes Goliath's sword, cut his head off, take it back to King Saul and says, there you go. You got the victory in your hand. So they head back to town. David is a hero. And the women are singing praises to David. Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed 10,000. And Saul got jealous. He got jealous of the man and despised the man that gave him the victory. And Saul said, well, I'm the king. Why y'all singing about David? And the Bible says, Saul even threw his sword at David trying to kill him. And he put a decree out to go find David. I want him dead or alive. So now David is on the run. He runs into this cave, but unbeknownst to him, there are some men already in the cave. These men are in debt. They're discontent and they're distressed. They have also dealt with rejection. So now here, David has been rejected by his father, rejected by his brothers, and rejected by the king. And now he's in a cave full of other rejected men. And they asked David to be their leader. And David agrees. And David's first assignment is to find them employment. They can't live in this cave forever. So what David does, he thought it'd be a good idea to go join the Philistine army. Okay, y'all missed that. David had just killed Goliath, their champion. And David thought that it's a better idea to go join the enemy's army than to go back home. That would be like, it's football season, fellas. And that would be like the San Francisco 49er joining the Cowboys. You know, it just don't make no sense. You don't go over to the enemy. So they join the Philistine army and they got employment and everything is going well until the Philistine army decides to go back into war with the Israelites. So the general decides, let me inspect my soldier, make sure everybody is fit for battle. So the general goes through and he's looking at his soldiers and he noticed these Israelite boys. And he says, no. Y'all can't go into this battle because you one of them and you might have a change of heart in the middle of battle and we can't have the enemy behind our line. And you know it's bad when you get rejected by the enemy. So now they tuck their tails between their legs and they head back home. And when they get to their home, they find out that their tents have been burned. Their land has been scavenged. Their wives and children have been taken hostage. And the Bible said the men cried until they couldn't cry no more. They cried until their tear ducts ran dry. And then they spoke about stoning David. Now here, David has been rejected by his father, rejected by his brother, rejected by his king, rejected by the enemy. Now he's rejected by the rejects. You know it's bad when the rejects reject you. So now, David has a decision to make. Things in his life has turned around. David is now the king. He's the HNIC. He's in charge. He went from living in the king to living in the palace. He's been rejected. And now he has a job to do. There's the Ark of the Covenant, and he has to go get it. So David goes and gets the Ark of the Covenant and they have it on the oxen and it's being pulled and it hits a road bump in the road and it falls and it goes to fall and the man, one of the servants go to hold it up and he dies. And David feels bad about this. And David said, put it down where it's at. And they put it down for a couple of months and leave it there until David figure out what's going on. They realize that it was being carried wrong. So David go back to the house of the man where it was at, takes the ark. Oh my God, I wish y'all read the Bible. Then I wouldn't have to take all this time telling the story. He goes back and he takes the ark and he says, they carry it the right way. And the Bible said they take six paces. They take six paces. And David says, now put it down and praise God. And they praise God, even though they had only went six paces, because sometimes in life, you got to thank God for the little things. I may not be at my destination, but I'm not where I used to be. I may not be everywhere I'm trying to get, but God, you brought me this far. I didn't get this far last month, but thank God I'm six paces from where I used to be. So now God, they're praising God, right? So now, David says, he marched all the way back to the house. And as they're coming back to Israel, to Jerusalem, David's wife is in the window and she's looking at him. And David is just sitting there. David is just dancing. And the Bible says that he danced out of his clothes. He danced out of his clothes. And when he finally get into the house, his wife says, the king sure made a fool out of himself today. See, and the problem with some of us is that we've gotten discouragement from people that we expected to shout with us. People who should be praising with us, talked about us and laughed at us and criticized us and treated us wrong. And I thought that you would be happy for me, but now you hating on me. And I just want to let you know that you can't fire me. I quit. He's been rejected by his father, rejected by his brother, rejected by the king, rejected by the enemy, rejected by a bunch of rejects. Now he's rejected by his wife. Is there anybody else in here who's had to deal with rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection? They didn't like you over here. They didn't like you over there. They didn't accept you over here. They didn't accept you over there. You're the least, the last, the left out, the looked over, the left behind. And I stopped by to tell somebody, the next time they reject you, you just tell them you can't fire me. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Can I translate that for you? It simply means you can't fire me. I quit. I know that I got to be talking to somebody in here other than myself. And I just really want to know, who is it that I'm talking to that you've been denied, rejected by your brothers, rejected by your sisters, pushed aside, you worked hard, and they gave all the promotions to somebody else. They haven't recognized your work or your efforts on that job. Who is it that your coworkers haven't treated you the way you think you should have been treated? Who is it that I'm preaching to? I wish I just had one. Okay, I know we got communion. I just got one more minute and then we out of here. So David is rejected by his wife. And then I like how he answers her. He says, you can't fire me, I quit. He says, if you think that was something, wait until you see the next time I dance. Wait till the next time God bless me. Wait and see how I dance then. Wait and see how I celebrate the next time. Wait and see how I give God the glory the next time. You might not look like what you did today, but the next time I'm going to give God some undignified praise. All the hell I've been through. Everything God brought me out of, every victory he's given me, every prayer that he's answered, every pit that he's lifted me out of, and you think I'm going to sit here and be quiet? I can't help but praise him, because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries, glory, glory. You ain't got to like me. You ain't got to vote for me. You ain't got to accept me. You ain't got to have me. You ain't got to want me. You ain't got to pick me. Because if my mama and daddy reject me, God will take me in. David has been rejected by everything and everybody he's loved. Moses was dissed and rejected by Pharaoh. Joseph was rejected and dissed by his brothers. Paul got dissed by the early church. Jesus was despised and rejected. But every one of them, God did something spectacular in their lives. You may have been dissed and rejected. You may have been disliked, dismissed, dismayed, disappointed, discarded, disavowed, disinherited, discounted, disapproved, distaken advantage of, discharged. But lift up your head, because when man has ditched you, it means God will discover you. You've been rejected. They didn't see you. They didn't recognize you. They didn't choose you. They didn't want you because they didn't see you. God has covered you. God has hidden you. That's why they didn't invite you to the party. That's why they didn't come to your party, because God didn't want you to be a part of the clique. He didn't want you to be a part of the crew. He was waiting to discover you, because after he discover you, he's going to put you on display. So don't worry about being dissed by people. I'm done. We got communion.